Start. Good afternoon. I'm Jen Sheffer, broadcasting live from Burlington High School. This is our second episode of Help Desk Live, and I'm happy to introduce today's hosts, two new students for the Help Desk program. I'll let them introduce themselves as well as our featured guests today.
I'm Mira. I'm a junior at Burlington High School, and this is my first time doing Help Desk, and this is actually just my second major assignment, this Help Desk Live thing, so yeah, I'm really excited to do it. I'm also part of my school's TED Ed Club, which Ms. Sheffer does with us also, and yeah, I'm excited to be a part of this Help Desk Live right now.
And I'm Danny. I'm also a junior here at Burlington High School. This is my second big assignment in Help Desk so far, and Ms. Sheffer pretty much has had us jump right in here, so.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
So we're going to start off by introducing our guest for today, and our topic for today is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart, and that is digital citizenship. So I believe Mira is going to formally introduce our guest, who we're going to pass over the mic to.
So our guest today is Dr. Mary Ellis Curran. And first of all, thank you for taking time out of your day and joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
And welcome to the show. And so Dr. Curran is an assistant professor at the University of St. Joseph. She is a longtime advocate of responsible online behavior, and she encourages her students to learn and explore what it means to be socially responsible, and both face-to-face or over, you know, the internet and online.
Yes, Dr. Curran has been a teacher educator since 1993. She's a former middle school teacher, principal, and ambassador of adolescence. She is also the current board member of Grace Academy in Hartford, Connecticut. She also emphasizes how teaching empathy is the most important 21st century skill, and how social media can change the teaching and learning in PK through 12 classrooms.
Boy, you found out a
John,
lot about me.
How do you like that introduction?
Wow, wowzers. I must have a good digital footprint and tattoo out there if you found that information out about me.
I think they were doing some Googling last night, right?
That's great. Terrific.
So they have a series of questions, and I believe first up will be Mira. So she's going to kick it off.
Okay, terrific.
So you're referred to as a digital citizenship maven by many educators, and you have been recognized by Common Sense Media as one of the top digital citizenship bloggers to follow in this year, 2014. So can you tell us how you would define digital citizenship?
Sure thing. I'll tell you, it's really the same thing as just citizenship. And when we think back to even when I first started teaching, you know, character education, the only thing that's changed is our medium. So, you know, digital citizenship, the word digital really has just emphasized what's happening right now with the onset of social media. But I actually like to refer to digital citizenship. I'd like to drop the digital and just call it I citizenship. And really, an iCitizen in the 21st century is focusing on really meeting the needs of when you focus on local, global, digital. And I personally believe that teaching empathy, modeling and engaging empathy, is the number one 21st century skill. And if I can help, what I do at St. Joe's is I'm working with teachers. And so how can I help teachers help students, whether it's from pre-K to high school and college, to understand what they do, their choices that they make, both online and face-to-face, really have consequences. So digital citizenship, to me, really encompasses what it means to be a citizen in the 21st century.
I think that's a great point with our students growing up now in a time when they're never going to know life without social media, without digital spaces,
right,
the way, you know, you and I did, and which may be a good thing for us since we don't.
Oh,
I don't know if I want my 80s hairdos.
Oh, absolutely.
Podcast on the internet, but I love the way you're saying the lines are blurred now. It's not just about digital citizenship. Let's just even remove that word from the definition totally.
I too grew up in the 80s, so the thing about adolescence is you're supposed to make mistakes. I mean, that's what it means to grow up. And I mean, I was even making mistakes into my 20s. But none of it was being captured for eternity via social media, which I'm very happy because I had Farrah Fawcett feathered hair back in the 80s. And I just actually, while I was reflecting on being a part of your conversation today, I found an old post that I wrote, and it was Every Breath You Take. And it was talking about, that used to be one of my favorite songs by Sting in high school. Mm-hmm. And I think he's talking about somebody, you know, that he's longing to be with. But I think about every breath you take, every move you make, I'm watching you. Gosh, that's what's happening with social media right now. And that's why it's imperative that we engage as many people as we can in this critical conversation.
I love that song too. I think there's a video actually on EdChat that it has been adopted with that song about digital footprints, that, you know, they are watching you, whoever they may be, whether it's employers or college admission folks and a future spouse. It's just, it's incredible the way it's impacted our society. So, Danny, I think you're up.
Yeah, could you tell us how you got interested in teaching digital citizenship and why you think digital citizenship is necessary in today's society?
Well, I'll tell you, I used to be a middle school teacher and principal in Massachusetts, and then I moved to Connecticut, and Connecticut won't honor my Massachusetts license, and so which landed me in higher ed. So now I'm like working with teachers, which exponentially you influence so many more students. But the beauty at St. Joe's is we've got an ed tech program at the master's level, and everyone, I've created this course, a 3-credit course for a semester specific on digital citizenship, and we have other ed tech courses that are part of that program. But the fact that our college has this commitment, I think, is tremendous, because I think my interest in creating that course, I was a young mom, and that young boy, Tyler Clementi, had committed suicide. He was a Rutgers student. This was back in, I think, 2011, maybe 2010. And it was all about something that had happened in his college dorm room. And I all of a sudden realized that I don't know this young man that took his life, but that could be my son, that could be my brother, that could be my cousin, my uncle, my next door neighbor, somebody I go to school with. But regardless, that's a human being. Like, that young boy, Tyler Clementi, is a young boy, and it fueled me to want to start really exploring and making digital citizenship, or what I would call iCitizenship, relevant in the lives of anybody that was willing to take the time to engage in this critical conversation. So that's why I started the course, and since then, I started the digital citizenship chat for teachers that started in 2011 as a result, and I created a first-year seminar course, Please to Tweet You, Are You a Socially Responsible Digital Citizen? I mean, it's just been like a snowball effect that I think this is my favorite topic to talk about.
It's definitely the most important topic I think our students need to hear, too. And I just, right before we started this hangout, I left my digital literacy class, and they were blogging and commenting on other students' blogs, their own classmates' blogs, and then some other students. So learning how to make those connections with others through digital spaces and, introduce themselves formally. It brings me back to when, you and I met on Twitter, and how relationships can form that are really meaningful and can be very deep. And, like you said, the empathy that should be taught is so important, and students are sharing a lot of intimate, personal, but yet still appropriate information about themselves. So it's wonderful to see that students are leveraging these tools in a positive way to share their passions and their interests and promote themselves to show that they are iCitizens. And they're so thoughtful about how they're crafting their posts, and they're just starting out. And as I am, and I'm certainly not an expert blogger, but to be able to model that for them is really an honor. So I'm hoping that this is just the foundation for them to build upon. I have a lot of sports enthusiasts in my class, so they're, you know, writing about the Olympics and different athletes that are making headlines in the news, and they're realizing, you know, this could become a potential livelihood. There's so many advantages to students having a strong digital presence, and I think, you know, the students here are lucky that our administration supports the use of these tools.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just so, it's so refreshing to be able to say, you know, go to your Facebook page and look for a profile picture for your blog, and all these 21st century communication tools are at their disposal, and they're using them in really positive ways. So I'm really fortunate to be a part of this community. Having spent most of their education in this district, I'm not sure if they truly understand how lucky they are to be in this kind of environment, because as you and I both know,
this isn't always the case.
Not the norm, even at the post-secondary level.
Can I just say, even I teach an undergraduate class now that's focused on iCitizenship, and I'll have my undergrad say, why hasn't anybody ever talked to us about this? Why is this new information? And I think, gosh, how did you get to college and haven't had that opportunity? But I'll tell you, they haven't had that opportunity because there are districts that will block social media or will say, you know, no devices. Even in college, I mean, there are some faculty members that don't want devices in the classroom. And, you know, when you are not, like what Burlington is doing, to engage and have you so actively involved with a one-to-one environment, then you are already modeling what it means to be socially responsible. And right. So when you're in an environment that you're in right now, you might just really be surprised when you're off to college and you're with different students that haven't had that opportunity, and then they're making some really poor choices. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, I feel like very fortunate to have these things like allowed, and like having one-to-one education with the iPads and everything. And of course, like, people can go on like social media and everything, but I like how they give us the decision for, like, we choose to be social and, I mean, socially responsible. And ultimately, like, later in life, like, it's not like someone will be there with us. We're going to have to choose to be social.
Right. You know, my whole thing in college, too, I'm always thinking, why do we ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? There's such an emphasis. Well, I don't understand why we don't take more time to say, what problems do you want to solve in the world? And, you know, if we focused on that, whether that's in middle school, high school, or college, you know, choices that we're making both face-to-face and online, I think, would be different. Because you would realize, gosh, I have, like, a civic responsibility to make this world better. And the choices and the words and my actions, they all matter. That's just really powerful.
The use of all these digital tools does so much beyond just helping students learn how to communicate in a digital world. One of my students, as the bell was ringing, he said to me, there was an issue with his blog, and he said, I'll figure it out over the weekend. And I said, I want to tweet that, you know, it's like, I want to figure this out on my own. So problem solving. I saw another student that was manipulating a picture of a hot dog and a hamburger, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm creating an image for my blog. I'm going to do a debate about what's better, the hamburger or the hot dog. So he's being all, you know, super creative, and, you know, they're just really having fun with it and hopefully entertaining their audience. That was another thing we talked about. Blogging can, you know, serve the purpose of entertaining your audience, educating your audience. So, like you say, they matter. They all have expertise in some area, and I really enjoy the fact that I can make them realize that, you know, even though you're in high school, you're an expert in something. You have something really brilliant to share with the world, and the self-esteem that that builds within my students is just,
you know. Can I just add, I'm looking right at your two juniors, high school juniors, and I want you to know that you are gifted and talented, and you, everybody that comes into a classroom has gifts and talents. And when we take the time as educators to, like, recognize them and appreciate what you bring to the table, possibilities are just absolutely endless. So there's a great hashtag on Twitter, and it's You Matter. And I am all about, let's focus more on taking the time to build people up and recognize what, you know, your gifts and your talents. So I want to thank you for, you know, just this modeling right now. I feel like when you're looking for a college, looking at applications, and you were to show this example, or whatever it's going to be for the next, you know, stage in your life, what you're doing right now is adding to that professional responsibility of an online presence, and bravo to both of you.
I'm very proud of them.
Yeah.
So, and yet, we have a couple other questions.
Okay.
So, as an educator for future teacher of future teachers, how much training in digital citizenship education are you able to provide for your pre-service teachers?
Well, I have one course that's 3 credits that's dedicated to digital citizenship, which I think is fantastic. It's not enough. I'll tell you, truthfully, it's not enough. I feel like other colleges have courses that are ed tech courses, and they certainly embed iCitizenship and digital citizenship into courses. But the fact that I'm able to have a full semester course, I think, is absolutely incredible. I still don't think it's enough. I feel like this is, whatever, when I talk to teachers, I don't care what grade you teach, I don't care what your content is, this is our responsibility, that you don't just do a lesson. Like, I can't just say, I know that, you know, in October is a big month about bullying, and so they'll do a bullying day or bullying week, or this has to be 365 days a year. This needs to be conversations, not just in the classroom, but, you know, with your peers, outside in the community, with your families. It is everybody's responsibility, and it should be happening 24/7. That's how I personally feel about it.
What do you guys think?
I agree. I feel like it should also be taught as, like, to people at a very young age, even to their, like, adult life. Adults should be learning about this. Kids should be learning about this.
Well, you know, even, like, when we think about younger children, I mean, it's empathy. It all starts with empathy and how we treat people and walking in somebody else's shoes and, you know, that kindness really does matter. And if we start that way with younger children, and we right now are able to, with younger children, take social media and devices, and that they younger children would be able to view this as like a learning tool, before then sometimes it's just a social tool where they don't see the connection. But it, I feel so much hope for our future, especially with so many people that are so passionate about, especially on Twitter, when I look at the responses we get for the digital citizenship chat, or go check out that You Matter hashtag. I mean, that's the stuff that I go, wow, I have hope. The world's going to be better.
It sure is. Here in at Burlington, the culture on social media spaces, for the most part, nothing's perfect. But I have seen, you know, I've seen it firsthand on Twitter, students using the tools appropriately. One of our, two of our students started the BHS Compliments Twitter handle, and, right, if you want to speak to that a little bit about that was like.
Two students in our school, we didn't know who it was at first, it was anonymous, made a BHS Compliments account, and it was just a very, like, positive thing, and they just tweeted at everyone from our school and just...
Except me.
Yeah, except Danny. Danny.
But,
we'll send Danny a compliment.
They just complimented people and, like, for their individual, like, characteristics, and it was just really nice. And I even, like, you should inbox them and tell them, oh, compliment this person, and so it's more, like, personal. I even asked them to compliment one of my teachers on how good of a teacher he was and everything. And it's just really nice because it doesn't matter. It's not, you're not saying it because, oh, I'm giving this person a compliment, they'll like me more, because it's all anonymous too, but you're just making other people feel better.
And when you carve out time in your day to make somebody else feel better, gosh, you feel better.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win. That just reminds me of, please tell me that you're following West High Bros. I have to give them a shout out, because that is a high school student in Iowa that started a Twitter handle to give authentic compliments, and he's been on the Good Morning America show, and he actually co-moderated the digital citizenship chat a couple of weeks ago. And I, you know, when I hear stories about like what you're doing at Burlington, West High Bros, that's the stuff that I say, wow.
I actually want to try to get West High Bros to be a future guest here on one of the Help Desk Live episodes, so maybe we're going to rotate through the hosts here for students who will host, and maybe I would love to get them to talk, you know, about what they're doing in their school. One of my students, speaking of the DigSit chat, one of my students from first semester, you probably remember seeing him in the chat, Nick Roberto.
Okay.
He tweeted me recently and said, when is the next DigSit chat?
That's awesome.
And I was so excited because he's not my student anymore. And like you said, the whole DigSit message, the philosophy, it was not something that I was focusing on once a week or once a month. It was something I was doing every day. It's like, be careful, you know, like if they go out to drive, you say, be careful driving. It's the same thing, you know, be
right.
careful out there in the digital world, you know. But the fact that he wants to continue to be a part of that conversation, and he was so inspired to see the way adults were using the, you know, Twitter to have conversations and inspire, and all the positive energy. And like I said to you, chats are a blessing and a curse for me because I can never sleep when they're over. I'm so fired up with all this energy.
Got fire in my belly.
It's going to be a late night because I can't sleep. Because like you said, it is refreshing and to know that there are so many educators out there that have that idealistic approach to education, that we can make some changes.
And that they want to empower students to be
right.
leading the change. And the fact for DigSit, which is every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, we want to encourage more student voice. I mean, we see the value of really that if change is going to happen, it's not going to happen from any adults like myself. It's going to happen from students. And so it's a powerful thing to be able to witness students feeling empowered, making a change.
Absolutely. So we're gonna keep it real. Danny has a question because, to truly change the culture, you know, we hopefully can get more student voice like you're saying, but it takes a lot of work and effort, and so Danny has a question for you about
what do you think are some of the main challenges of effectively integrating digital citizenship education in schools?
Well, there are a lot of issues. I think the first would be the fact that if a system is shutting down social media or is not encouraging a one-to-one environment, that's the first thing. The second is, I don't know if some teachers feel comfortable with all the demands placed on them that this has to take a priority. And what I've always said is, you know, okay, let's just say you're in a district and you do, there are social media shutdowns, you don't have access, there's no one-to-one, no devices. The minute students leave your school, they're connected. So they might not be connected in school, but they're connected the minute they walk out of school. And so teachers then say, well, you know, since they're not connected in school, then it's not, I don't have time to talk about it, it's not relevant. Well, actually, it's even more relevant in an environment that's not one-to-one because they're not having any opportunity to model what it means to be socially responsible online. And so I think that access is probably the number one issue. And then it's about education. Where are they going to get their resources? And I personally feel like, you know, there's great the companies out there that have digital citizenship resources like Cable in the Classroom, Common Sense Media. But what I feel like we're modeling right now with your teacher, Ms. Sheffer, like what we're doing is like project-based learning. and where we're taking the opportunity to connect and collaborate. I think that if teachers had more opportunities to, I don't know, there was a great quote on Twitter. It was a great visual. How do you describe your classroom? Does it have four walls, or is it the horizon line? And the teachers that see their classroom as the horizon line are going to be so much more open to, you know, making this a commitment 365 days a year. So I feel like, I guess the big thing then is we just need to get more people on board. We need parents on board. We definitely, I mean, I was asked to go and do a PTO night, and maybe 12 parents were there, and which I had heard is the norm, you know, like, they don't get a big, they don't have a lot of parents that come and engage in PTO, but I mean, this has to be something that is happening in school, out of school, in the community, at home. I mean, and the more people we can get involved, and that's why, if I don't know if I'm running out of time or not, but St. Joe's, we did a live-streamed an iCitizenship town hall meeting, and if I could give anything, that's what we need to do, so that communities would, you'd have a live audience, but you'd also live-stream it. And in fact, if Burlington High School's ever interested, count me in for this, for an iCitizenship town hall meeting, because that's where we involve everybody, and the students would be leading the way.
Well, we'll have to talk about that more, because yes, we'd be interested in that for sure.
Yeah.
The student voice, like you said, is the most powerful thing. It's the most exciting thing too, to hear the students and what they have to say. Just to throw in what you said about parent involvement, and I think one of the big differences that I see working here in Burlington, and maybe you could speak to the culture at your university, but the administration here models the use of digital citizen, you know, they model digital citizenship, they are users of the social media tools themselves, they understand it. You know, so they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook, Instagram, they're using the tools that the students use.
That's imperative.
So, right, it really is.
That's the hook right there.
It's a positive thing, it's a motivating thing as an educator to know that, you know, your principal or your superintendent is going to also, you know, spread the message that you're sending through, whether it be through Twitter, you know, liking your Instagram pictures, and it feels like the real world. That's the best way I could say, you know, like you say, the schools where everything is shut down, like you said, the students leave and they have those tools. So,
but they haven't been engaged in a conversation about using those tools.
Exactly. And, you know, here, the students are living in the real world. You know, they're not cut off from that social media. And I said to my students last period, and they were blogging, a couple of them had their phones out, and I said, phones away, tell your friends that you're busy right now blogging and to leave you alone. So one of my students took his phone and showed me, he wrote, leave me alone, I'm blogging. And
I love that. I love that.
Message, I said, and I wanted to share through an Instagram 15-second video what my classroom sounded like last period. It was silent, and they were blogging. So that's,
you know, I'm in the zone, leave me alone.
Exactly. They were in the zone, and then they were commenting, and, you know, the thought process behind, okay, you know, what kinds of comments, and I was guiding them along the way. So for some of these students, you know, this is their first experience blogging, interacting with others through social media, and it's great that I have, you know, the opportunity to help them, you know, make those marks that are positive and permanent that they'll be proud of, just like you do with some of your graduate students.
Absolutely.
You know, so doesn't matter, young or old, we need to model it. So we're going to skip we're going to run out of time. So Mira wanted to finish up.
So my last question was, I was going to ask you to tell us about how the two of you met and what you plan to accomplish with the bi-monthly, the hashtag DigSit Twitter chats.
Okay, well, this is a great story right here. We've never met face-to-face. How about that? I mean, this just models the, like, power of social media and being a connected educator. So We have never met face-to-face. We have certainly had Google Hangouts before. We've been very active on Twitter, but we've never had the opportunity to meet face-to-face. And that should really be a lesson to everyone that, you know, the connections and the networks that you can create are really powerful and really meaningful. In fact, sometimes even more so than the people that you might see on a regular daily basis that you work with or go to school with or teach with. And so we've got great, this is bad, but I can already tell that I've got enthusiasm, I feed off of somebody else's enthusiasm, so our combination is going to be deadly. And we've got some, we have some big ideas, and one big thing that we want to launch, do you want to let them know our big Constitution?
Oh, I want you to. This is...
Well, it's in collaboration. I mean, remove the word digital and look at iCitizenship, we'd like to do this project collaboratively and involve students across, you know, all 50 states to be involved in sharing their voice. What does it mean to be an iCitizen and create this iConstitution? I mean, wow! How awesome is that?
It's crazy. It's awesome.
So, yeah. And then maybe that iConstitution, right, could then, I might be in a district somewhere that isn't connected, isn't one-to-one, but I'm able to bring that iConstitution into my classroom to my teacher and say, why can't we do something like this? I don't know. It's going to be powerful, empowering, and just full of change.
Absolutely. Maybe they can help spearhead the effort.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and there's a future host, Nathan. You can say hi, Nathan.
Hi, Nathan.
Well, I think we're gonna have to wrap it up.
I have to tell you, I end every class by saying I miss you already, and I want you to be wicked smart. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. They don't have the Massachusetts accents like I wish they did, you know.
I know. I embrace it. I still have my 617 number.
Yeah, there's a few Dunkin' Donuts in the area where you can hear, you know, some of the orders. You can hear the people ordering that with the accent that I love. But we'll stay in touch. I know you and I will.
Absolutely. And I hope that you join us every second and fourth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m., because we want to get more student voice. Next Wednesday, it's going to be the topic. Susan Bearden is going to moderate the chat, and it's about using Twitter in an English classroom. So, you know, we want to get as many students involved as possible.
Well, I know they have a lot to say. Like Mira said in the beginning, she's joined the TED Ed Club here in Burlington, and some of her ideas, I mean, they're just mind-blowing. And
well, how about that? Why don't you then say, I'm picking a date, and I am going to moderate DigSit about how other schools can, you know, start this TEDx club.
Absolutely. And Danny, you know, he's working on his first post for the help desk, and he said to me, well, why don't you say what you did with the image that I'll be broadcasting.
Well,
soon.
I downloaded Photoshop and I learned how to use it in like just an hour. And it was frustrating at first, but
you owned it.
Figured it out. It was kind of fun.
Good.
Yeah, he was looking for an image to put into the post, and we couldn't find the perfect one. And I said, well, why don't you create something original? So the next day he came in and said, I made this. It's like, yes.
And it was really good.
Right.
It's great. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you a million times.
Thank you. This was fantastic. And you know what? You've just modeled. I teach right now this semester. I've got undergrad and grads, but you've just modeled. We took that play date concept that's happening with teachers for professional development, and we are playing with tools each week. And so we played with Google tools, and nobody picked up the Google Hangout on Air. And I think that they were a little bit nervous, like, what, you would talk to strangers? Like, why would you use that tool? So you have just done a fabulous thing by teaching future teachers how valuable this tool is. So I can't thank you for leading the way and being just agents of change.
Yeah, for being in the help desk for 2 weeks, I think it's been pretty impressive. This is a pretty good resume.
Absolutely.
That they moderated this conversation, which could go on and on, but
you got to go.
We'll end the broadcast, and this is great because next week we have somebody who's going to be talking with us about life in corporate America. So what you know, what employers will be looking for in a very somewhat traditional workplace setting, but also how they're using social media to scan candidates and also their expectations in terms of communication. So some of the newer employees have to learn sort of the etiquette in the rules of corporate America. So that's going to be a really interesting chat to hear from somebody.
Oh. And you know, I didn't touch upon that, but you should know that colleges are doing the same thing. And I'll hear, like, my undergraduates will just want to shut down their accounts. And, you know, we're not interested if you have shut down accounts. We want to see, well, what kind of, just like I had said before, what kind of problems are you trying to solve? How are you using social media to make the world better? And so colleges are definitely, for admissions, we are actively engaged in seeing what you're doing. So the fact that you've got a, you're ahead of the game, you're very lucky to be in Burlington, to be in this class, and next week's topic sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you again.
All right, terrific.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Perfect.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.